Well, good evening, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you that we can gather in the name of Jesus, and as we look at your word tonight, write it on our hearts, Lord, and help us to see what your heart is toward compromise, Lord, as we see that in this letter to the church in Thyatira. And so lead us now by your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Well, turn in the Bible, in your Bibles, to Revelation chapter 2, and we will finish chapter 2 last night. Finish chapter 2 tonight, hopefully. We will be in the letter to the church at Thyatira, the fourth letter. Good evening. Welcome. Verse 18, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, all right. Well, just as a brief review, remember verse 3 in chapter 1, those of you who have been here from the beginning of the study, that is the promise of a blessing that anyone who reads and hears and does the book of Revelation will be blessed. And so you're here tonight, we read it, we've already read part of it, and now we hear it, and then may we do it, and then there will be that blessing. We know in verse 19 of chapter 1 that this book is laid out into basically three parts. The first part is what is already Christ speaking, what has happened in the past, and then the history of the church. And then in chapter 6 on, we have the future after we will see the rapture and the church taken out. But we have now the letters of Jesus Christ, and this is the letters from Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Quite a different picture of Jesus in the book of Revelation than we have, say, for example, in the Gospels, because the Gospels are about Jesus, the perfect man and the perfect God, who had come to earth to pay the price of our sin, that we would not die. And he had to come as a man. He had to pay the price as a man, because he was undoing what Adam, the first man, had done. But now we see a different revelation, and as we just look at these words again, we'll read part of them tonight, but in chapter 1, John is writing, then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me, verse 12, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. This is not just the robe of a shepherd or so forth, as we saw in the earlier part of Jesus' life before he paid the price for us. But here we have clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool. And remember, we talked about that as meaning total purity, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. We see the judgment in his eyes. His eyes are really eyes of searching, of scrutiny. And yet we see here at the end what he will do to John, who is scared to death because he falls down on his face. His feet were like fine brass, again indicating judgment, as it is refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. This is no small, quiet voice here. This is voices of many waters. And in his right hand, seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the big sword, not the small two-edged sword that we have in hand-to-hand fighting. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. So you can see how bright he is. And here's John, who, you know, had his head on his breast at the time of the Last Supper and all knew him very well. But when he saw him, what happened? He fell at his feet as dead. This is a far different Jesus, in effect, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords than we had when he was a man, it seems to me. But Jesus laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." So we see Jesus is so powerful that he will trample out God's wrath on the whole Christ-rejecting world, and blood will flow as deep as the horse's bridle for 200 miles. And yet he still is loving and compassionate. He cares for you more than you could ever know. So we then have these letters to the seven churches. We call them the seven churches of Asia. This is really not indicative of Asia as we know it today. These churches were all in a little area in western Turkey, probably no more than maybe the furthest church is probably no more than 400 or 500 miles between them, centered in western Turkey. If you go to Ephesus today, that would be the church to Ephesus. If you go to Izmir today, that would be the church of Smyrna. And you can visit all of these seven churches in a relatively short drive around them. So they're in a tight cluster, but each church represents something. And you know, we've already had the Ephesus church. They did such great things, but they had lost their love for the Lord. Then we had the church in Smyrna, the persecuted church, and there was nothing bad to be said about that persecuted church. And then we went on up to Pergamos, the compromising church, which was the headquarters of Satan for several hundred years. And we have Babylon supreme up there, because all the priests from Babylon, after the Babylonians were defeated by the Medos and Persians, the Babylonian priests moved to Pergamos. And that was where the headquarters of the Babylonian church was for several hundred years before it moved to its present location of Rome. I say present location, at least the main orthodoxy headquarters there is in Rome. And we talked about all of the pagan aspects that were involved in Pergamos and went on to Rome as well. Of course, at part of the time we were talking about that, we were celebrating Resurrection Day. And of course, that's one of the most obvious pagan holidays of Easter, with its bunnies and Easter eggs. And how do you get the resurrection of Jesus Christ out of bunnies and Easter eggs? You don't. That's the worship of the fertility god Ashtart, which we call Easter. But at any rate, tonight we're moving on now to another city called Thyatira. And it basically is a compromising church. They do a lot of good things. And when you see the things that we read about a minute ago that they did, it sounds really pretty good. Well, I'd like to be in a church like that, doing that many good things. But they were compromising. And they had, it says, this woman Jezebel in it, who was seducing the people into idolatry and immorality. You remember a whole study in the book of Ezekiel, where we had 24 chapters regarding the judgment of Israel and it was and of Judah. It was all about immorality and idolatry. Remember, those are the two sins from day one. They've always been, they still are. And of course, we see it here in this particular church that it's going to be a reference to us. So, turn to page 4 now. Let's just ask a few questions to get our thoughts going on this. And these are not just to stimulate your thinking a little bit. Number 1, how serious is compromise? in your life. We're going to be talking about the compromising church tonight, doing a lot of good things, but there's compromise. Are we compromising? Are you compromising with the world? We'll talk a little bit about that as we go through. We read here about the Son of God, and we read about dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. Can you think of an Old Testament reference that refers to that, or that this is specified, actually it's quoted from? But where's the quote originally in the Old Testament? Psalm 2, yes. Okay, do you see the seriousness and the judgment aspect of this letter? Well, teach it to us, and then we'll let you know. But we will see the seriousness and the judgment as we see Jesus revealing himself in here. Does the Old Testament ever say we are to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and that those that put their trust in him will be blessed? Okay, could be. I'm thinking of another verse which we'll read tonight. In verse 5, Thyatira is commanded for their faith. Is that faith in the Lord or their total faith in the Word? Well, you wouldn't know unless you looked at the Greek. This is one of the few times, well, maybe not few, but one of, you know, we look at the original language and we don't always learn a whole lot. But in the original language, the definite article, the, is there. So we're talking about the faith. We're not talking about faith in Christ only. We're talking about the total faith, which should be represented in the whole Word of God. The faith. Verse 6. Here's a description of the works now of the ministry in Thyatira, and my question is, would you be happy with this for your own ministry? I know your works, your love, your service, the faith, and your patience, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Remember, in Ephesus, it was kind of going the other way. We had great works, but they were kind of tailing off, and now here, the latter works are even better than the first. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Well, it would be, except there's compromise here, as we will see. Verse 7, can you think of anything, we'll get into this a little bit later too, can you think of anything that you forsake of or don't do yourself, although really it wouldn't be a sin in and of itself, but you don't do it for the sake of others? You know, we talked about that when we were going through the book of Romans. We were talking about the law of liberty and the law of love. We want to always submit to the law of love, right? Although we have liberty to do things, we don't want to do it if it's going to stumble somebody else. So can you think of examples in your life where you purposely don't do something because you might stumble somebody else? We'll talk about that a little bit. Verse 8, can television become a moral issue? Is it one with you? You know, assuming you don't watch, well, I don't know, maybe there's anything good on television anymore, but assuming you don't watch the really bad stuff, maybe it, in and of itself it's not so bad. But is it really edifying? Does it really draw you closer to Jesus? Is it not suck you into 2 or 3 or 4 hours of watching absolutely nothing? Well, that's kind of the compromise we're talking about here. Question 9, does cultural compromise affect how we glorify God? Yeah, we'll see that verse along those lines tonight too. Whose consciences do we need to consider in this? We'll read about that. Who is defined in the Bible as the morning star? Yeah, we see that in here. There's other places where the morning star is used where it's not capitalized, and it may not be that of a person. It may just be that of light. Okay, well, let's go back now to verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write. First of all, let's just talk about Thyatira a little bit. It's about 40 miles southeast of Pergamos. It was not really a strong city in terms of a great value from a defensive position. In fact, it got overrun over and over and over and over because it really didn't have any natural defenses other than Rome. It was a Roman colony, so Rome had always a heavy garrison there. But it was actually the headquarters. It was on a trade route, and it was actually the headquarters of very many trade guilds. There were all kinds of trade guilds there. It was known as the center of dyeing. I'm talking now about, you remember Lydia, the seller of purple? That's where they dyed all of these royal robes, or not all of them, but many of these royal robes. And so we had just a number of different trade guilds there. That was kind of the headquarters of the trade guilds. And one of the things that causes all of the compromise is that to keep your job, you had to go to these trade guild feasts. And at the trade guild feast, there was all kinds of drunkenness and sexual immorality and worshiping the false gods and all that kind of a thing. And so some of the people were doing that. And they were doing that under the auspices, I got to do it to keep my job. So that's where we get into some of these compromise things. And, you know, we're rapidly moving that way in this country, aren't we? We're seeing more and more the political correctness is absolutely opposite of what the Bible says, right? I mean, it's just over and over and over. It's getting that way. So we see that tendency facing us as well. Well, just turn